To the message, the lesson for tonight. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to show forth the praises of him who've called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We thank you, Lord God, for our apostle. We thank you that he's the visionary of this school. And we thank you right now that we're receiving everything that we need to be successful in our Christian endeavors and in ministry and in every walk of life. We just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, tonight we're going to take somewhat of a turn. I know you have your books, but we're going to be teaching one of the attributes of the spirit of honor is that you walk in loyalty. There's a book, you don't have to get it. I might have mentioned it once last semester. The book is entitled Loyalty Versus Disloyalty by Ty Heward Mills. You can get it on Amazon if you want to. You can get it online a lot cheaper than you can by going to the bookstore, but you don't have to get it. Everything that you're gonna need to know, we're gonna be teaching from some of the principles out of that book. But last semester, the Lord led me, because one of the key ingredients of walking in the spirit of honor is walking in loyalty. And we're going to be looking at some definitions of loyalty and what loyalty is and what disloyalty is, and just kind of go from there. Let me start off with just giving you some definitions of loyalty. Okay, loyalty is the quality of being faithful. Loyalty is the quality of being faithful. And with that said, let me read a scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 right quick. And I think we've probably read the scripture once before, but I want to reiterate it, since it's saying that loyalty is has a lot to do with faithfulness. Give me a second here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. So one of the attributes of loyalty is being faithful. It says faithfulness, the quality of being faithful, loyalty. Loyalty also means allegiance or alliance. It means devotion, faithfulness to something or someone. You're bound with a pledge of duty. That's all of that has to do with the spirit of honor. You know, you're bound with a sense of duty. It implies strict and continuing faithfulness to an obligation, a trust, or a duty. Loyalty implies a faithfulness that is steadfast in the face of temptation, anything that tries to throw you off, challenges, insurmountable things. When you're loyal to someone, that loyalty crosses many boundaries. You know, it just doesn't stop at a certain point where say, enough is enough. I'll give you an example. One of the things the author uses an illustration of is loyalty in marriage. And he uses the illustration of a couple that's been married, say, for 50 years. And they both were loyal, and they kept their fidelity, their trustworthiness to both parties, you know, their entire lives. Loyalty is a covenant word. Loyalty is a covenant word. Matter of fact, the core strength of any great organization depends on its members walking in loyalty. The core strength of any great organization depends on its members walking in loyalty. Because loyalty will bring strength, it will unify. It's people who walk in loyalty, they have a team-oriented spirit. I said that loyalty means fidelity, it means faithfulness, allegiance, and devotion. All of these are synonyms of loyalty. Loyalty is a bond that holds the organization and its leader, our cause together, and the balm against dissension and conflict. It is not a blind obedience or unquestionable acceptance of a shared vision. Loyalty requires careful balance of various interests, values, and institutions in the interest of harmony and cohesion. You know, loyalty will bring cohesion. It will bring that team spirit, that unity together. When every member of a team or an organization or a church are walking in loyalty to the vision and the visionary, you're going to have a cohesiveness and a harmony. Loyalty runs hand in hand with the word integrity. Integrity being faithful to one's conviction is part of integrity. Following principles, acting with honor, maintaining sound judgment, and performing duties with impartiality, helping to maintain integrity and avoid conflicts of interest and hypocrisy. You know, when you walk in integrity, you want to do everything in your power to avoid conflicts and hypocrisy. And basically, you're walking in the spirit of honor when you're walking in that spirit of loyalty and integrity. All right. Let's see if there's anything else. Here's some other definitions of loyalty. Loyalty means a commitment to a cause, a purpose, or a person, as in an apostle or a pastor. It embodies the ability to stand behind one's promise and conviction. Loyalty does not waver in times of tests, but strengthens itself from within to stand committed to support the person, the belief, and the cause despite whatever challenges may come. Let me just read that again. That's a powerful definition. Loyalty means commitment to a cause, a purpose, a person. It embodies the ability to stand behind one's promises and convictions. Loyalty does not waver in times of tests, but it strengthens or gets strengthened from within to stand committed to support the person, the belief, and the cause despite whatever challenges may come. These are some strong definitions of loyalty. And in order to walk in the spirit of honor, you must walk in loyalty. There must be a loyalty to what you do, to whatever you're called to do in ministry or the ministry of helps. There's got to be a continual loyalty. That's so, so very important. All right. One of the things I'm going to be talking about is seven reasons why the subject of loyalty is so important. And areas of where disloyalty can come in and disrupt the synergy and the flow of loyalty. Loyalty is the principal qualifications for a minister. If you're endeavoring in the ministry, loyalty is a principal qualification. A lot of times people believe that a person who's gifted, a person who's talented, are more qualified for ministry or to operate in some form of ministry or work in the ministry of helps. But that should not be the principal qualification of a person in ministry or the ministry of helps. A person who's loyal and who's faithful, those people are more qualified to walk in ministry or in the ministry of helps. Because you know, no matter what comes up, no matter what situations or what circumstances will crop up, those people who are loyal and committed are going to stay with the cause and continue to press forward. Talented people, gifted people, you'll see them come and you'll see them go because they rely more on their gift and their talent than their fortifications of loyalty, commitment, trust, integrity. Those things are intangible, and those things will cause a person to continually walk in the spirit of honor. And that's what we want for our lives, is that we walk in that spirit of excellence and that spirit of honor. And I already read 1 Corinthians 4:2, which says it is required in stewards. A steward is somebody who's submitted. When you're in stewardship, you're in training, you're a disciple, you're a disciplined one, you're a steward. And it's required of a steward or somebody who's a disciple that they be faithful. Faithful to the cause, faithful to the mission, faithful to the vision, faithful to what God has called you to do. One of the things that God really began to work with me on years ago is son, stay committed, stay faithful to what God's called you to do. Because it's those people who continually to be faithful and continually to press forward. That's where the favor comes in. That's where the blessing comes in. Because God's going to reward you because of your faithfulness and your commitment. Not so much because of the talent and the gift. Those things, you know, are blessings in themselves. But it's faithfully serving, faithfully being committed to a cause, to a vision, to a visionary. Those things are what's going to stand, and that's so very important that as men and women of God, we know how to walk in faithfulness. The author talks about a situation where he had one of his right-hand men in ministry. He started to notice signs in his life of disloyalty. And a lot of times after service, this associate would have people come to his house, and they would critique the pastor's messages or criticize the way he did things, the way he sipped water from the pulpit, the way he, you know, did this or said that. You know, they always, one thing about a person that begins to walk in disloyalty, that they're going to begin to have a critical spirit. They're going to be, they're not going to take things face value. They're going to always be questioning why we got to do this, why it got to be done this way. One of the things I've learned in ministry is that, you know, you follow orders, you stay committed. And a lot of times, even if you don't understand or don't quite have it all down packed, you just, you know, you take it and by faith and ask God to reveal what it is I'm not understanding. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I asked the gentleman who I report to, Brother Ronald, about a situation, and was asking him how to go about handling it. And I thought it was a pretty good idea of what we were looking at doing, but he immediately says, no, we don't need to do that. We need to stay leave things the way it is. And he began to explain and it kind of expound. And I proceeded to say, you don't have to explain it to me. You know, if you say no, don't want it to happen, that's all I need to hear. You know, there have been times I've asked for information about, you know, how to go about something, and they'll tell me a yay or a nay. I say, okay, that's all I need to know. You know, and then I proceed from there. You know, that way, you know, I like to use the illustration. When a person is given orders, they shouldn't dispute the orders. They shouldn't try to dissect the orders. You know, the orders were given from higher ups, from headquarters, from people in delegated authority. And when you walk in the spirit of honor, you walk in an integrity and a loyalty, you know, and a commitment that's going to flow no matter what. You know, and see, God will honor that. But what happens is when people start to murmuring, begin to question authority, question instructions, why we got to do it this way? Why we got to turn around three times? Why we got to stand up? Why we got to do this? You know, why? And then you miss out on so much because You know, God desires for us to walk in obedience. When you walk in the spirit of honor, you're going to walk in obedience. You're going to walk in wholehearted. And one of the things we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you know, you got obedience and you got submission. You know, and even in obedience, sometimes there's an element of self. You know, but when you're submitted, completely and totally submitted, as you walk in obedience, you know, you eliminate the element of self altogether, and you're submitted to a cause, you're submitted to a vision, you're submitted to a visionary, and through loyalty, you're going to stay connected to that thing. Loyalty will not let you just walk away. You know, when you're loyal to a relationship, you just don't walk away from it. You know, you know because there's some fabric there, there's some years there, there's some a bonding in spiritual and physical relationships. I mean, it's hard to walk away from a relationship once you got to know somebody, you know, as a friend or associate, a girlfriend or a wife, and all of a sudden that relationship gets severed. It's almost like it takes you a while to have to almost mend because of the hurt or the disconnect, you know. And that's why in ministry it's so very important that we stay committed, stay loyal, stay faithful, stay devoted to what God's called us to do. But getting back to this illustration, the author, his right-hand man began to be somewhat disloyal and disrespectful and questioned his authority. And so he had a meeting with him, and he asked the associate, what do you think we need to do about this guy that already spoke to his heart? And the associate said, well, I think we could work things out. I think we can amend and make things better. He says, no, we can't. He says, you're going to have to leave the ministry right now. You've been relieved from all your duties and all your responsibilities, and I'm asking for your resignation, and I want you to resign and leave the ministry. He said, well, it doesn't have to go that far. And he said, yes, it does, because you do not want disloyal, disrespectful, unfaithful people in high positions of leadership that's supposed to be taking orders and taking instructions from you, and you can't trust them. They're untrustworthy because of disloyalty. That's so very important. You know, one thing I've learned in ministry is you have to be loyal. There's no substitute for that. There's absolutely no substitute for it. If you want to walk in the spirit of honor, there must be loyalty. There must be commitment. You know, and it's a bond that should not be broken. It should not be broken. You know, I always tell new members, I said, you need to settle it in your heart. If you feel like God's called you to this ministry, settle it in your heart, you know, and get your feet dug down deep into the soil of what God is doing here. You know, so that way, no matter what comes up, you know, you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You won't be moved. You know, whatever adversity, whatever circumstance, whatever situation may come, you know, trees that don't have really good root systems, when a hurricane comes, those are the first ones to fall. But you look at certain trees that's got strong root systems, they may lose a few branches, but that tree is going to be firmly embedded in the soil because it's got a solid root system. Some trees, the root system just go out to the side. But you got certain trees, their roots go down deep into the ground. And they're embedded, and they're not going to be moved. That's what the scripture says, a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, because it's getting its nutrients from that stream, and those roots are embedded into the soil. And that's so very important that we embed our roots in the ministry God's called us to. A scripture here that the author refers to in Matthew 12 and 30 says, he that is not with us is against us. He that is not with us is against us. That's Matthew 12 and 30. If a person is not wholeheartedly with you, they're really against you, because you don't want nobody half-stepping. Even in sports, you want everybody on the team giving 100%. You don't want nobody giving just 50%. You know, I remember my coach, he would get on me when he didn't think I was putting out, you know. He said, you can do better than what you're doing. You have the ability. You're not utilizing all your skills and all your talent for the sake of the team. Don't hold back, because, you know, the team you're playing is you know, you don't have to put out. He said, every game, every Tuesday, every Thursday when we play basketball, he said, I want you to give 100%. Because, you know, it's giving all. It's going. And no matter what you do in life, you want to always give your all. You know, being totally committed, not half-stepping, but going wholeheartedly at it. You know, that's what true loyalty is all about. You know, in a marriage relationship, you don't want to just give half yourself into that relationship. You want to give all, you know. And when you get married married into a ministry, you want to give all. You want to not half-step, and that's so very important. Because it, as the scripture says here in Matthew 12 and 30, he that is not with me is against me. And that's so very important that we understand that. For the love of God is always to fill the church. The ministry is supposed to operate with a spirit of power and love and unity and teamwork. And it should be a team-oriented spirit. And when there's a team-oriented spirit, that's when the spirit of honor can manifest itself in a greater degree, because everybody is operating and functioning for the good of what God is doing. But the Bible says in John 13 and 35, he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. When you walk in the spirit of love towards one another, and you walk in a spirit of loyalty, and you walk in a spirit of unity and oneness, there's nothing that can be restrained from us, whatever we endeavor to do, because we're walking as one man, and that's so very important. And another thing, too, the author says that when there is disloyalty and dissension, and the water is murky in a ministry, sheep don't like to graze or to walk or to settle besides murky water. The Bible says that sheep are led beside still waters. On Psalms 23, you know, sheep are led beside still water. When the water is murky and there's dissension and there's murmuring and backbiting, it's hard for a sheep to really receive the word of God when there's all kind of things going on in the background. But when everybody's walking in loyalty, walking in oneness, walking in a spirit of honor, the water is calm and the word is coming forth and people are receiving great revelation because they're beside still waters. To have a large and successful ministerial team, there must be loyalty. There must be loyalty. However, it would be better if a minister operated along, if members of the team were disloyal or there was disgruntled and ununified as one, you know, because then now your efforts are, it's almost like it nullifies your efforts. Everybody needs to be one. Without loyalty, every network or organization of churches will constantly undergo competition, competitive spirit, dissension, and finally disintegration. Let me read that again. Without loyalty, every network, you know, a network or an organization or a church will constantly undergo competition. In other words, people are competing against one another. There's a spirit of competitive jealousy. Then dissension will come in, and then finally that dissension will lead to a disintegration where, you know, one of the things I've noticed, if, you know, driving around cities, especially Baton Rouge, you have, and I'm not, I guess I am being a little critical, sometimes you have a church on every corner, every other corner, a little church here, a little church there, and I ask, Lord, why is that? In most cases, somebody got disgruntled, discontent, murmured, and they broke away, and they took a few people from that church to start another church. And then they may grow a little bit, but because they left wrong, all of a sudden now there's dissension, there's a disgruntlement in their ranks, and then somebody from their ranks break away and start another little satellite church. So now you got all these little churches with 5, 6, maybe 15 people in them, and not being productive, you know. And a lot of that is because there was never any loyalty from the very onset. You know, if people are loyal to the cause, loyal to the man of God, loyal to their apostle, loyal to their prophet or their pastor, you know, God can't help but bless them and bless the ministry, and increase is going, because it's flowing as one. Like I said, a team-oriented spirit. And that's what we're endeavoring to do. And that's all a part of the spirit of honor. You know, when you walk in the spirit of honor, you know, there's an integrity there. There's a willingness of giving yourself totally to what God is doing and how God is using you, and recognizing that it's not about you, but it's about you fulfilling God's will for your life and allowing God to use you in whatever capacity that he wants to use you. In order to reap full rewards of honor, those who benefit from the blessings of success are the ones who are faithful and the loyal ones. We all want to one day hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," you know. But even before we get to heaven, as we walk in loyalty, we walk in unity, the blessings of God continually manifest in your life. And the reason why is because God's going to reward your faithfulness. God says, I'm not unfaithful to forget your labor of love and your devotion and your commitment and your loyalty. You know, those blessings that you receive from your loyalty, you're going to receive them now in this life. You know, a lot of times people, well, I can't wait to get to heaven, but it's what God wants to do for you now. You know, we serve a right now God. A loyal person will always stick with their man of God, with their pastor through challenges, and they're going to stay with it till the end. A loyal person or member always complies with the directives that come from the head. A loyal person or member always complies with the directives that come from the head, come from headquarters. When you walk in loyalty, you're going to always comply. And comply means you're going to do what thus said the Lord, and what the instructions were. And sometimes with me, if I'm not sure of the direction I need to take, I'm always, apostle or Reverend Gotro or whoever I need to speak to, this is the situation. I'm not going to make a move until I get the proper instruction. Because when you go forth, you want to go forth in confidence, knowing that what you're doing is a part of the agenda of what the apostle or what your pastor, you know, whoever you submitted to. And when you do that, you're able now to step out in confidence. You're not half-stepping, because you know what's been dictated to you, what the assignment, what the instructions are, and you can flow better, you know. And when you do that, you're doing it in the spirit of honor. You know, you're doing it in the spirit of honor because you're walking in loyalty and you're walking in oneness. And that's so very important. What I want to also talk about, too, is stages of disloyalty. A person who becomes disloyal, it doesn't happen overnight. The process of someone being disloyal, it slowly creeps in when things happen or individual when you're not really fully persuaded and have, like I was saying, knowing that what I'm saying or what I'm doing is the dictates of the ministry or dictates of the vision. You know, when you have some reservations or even if you got offended about something and don't get it right, those things, you know, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Little things that if you don't settle it quickly, it's going to fester. It's kind of like a sore. If a mosquito bites you, and if you don't treat it with, you know, Benadryl or something to cause the infection and the itching, you know, and the swelling to go down, but if you keep scratching it, it's just going to get worse. You know, even though it's a small bite, next thing you know, half of your arm is all red because you didn't treat that thing. You didn't take care of it. You know, when say, you know, you get a flu bug or a cold, your throat starts to get sore. If you start to treat that right away, mouthwash, you know, whatever it takes, you know, taking the proper medication, vitamin C, and start to combat that thing right away, it can eventually take over, and before you know it, now you're bed sick, and it could have been something you dealt with. Well, same thing with this dishonor. If you don't deal with the symptoms of dishonor at the early stages, it's going to grow and it's going to multiply, and it's going to actually lead to a point where a person actually begins to walk into rebellion. So, excuse me, disloyalty doesn't just happen overnight, because disloyalty is a process. Most people are unaware the fact that they become disloyal. Many leaders do not even notice disloyal in their associates. First of all, it will help you to identify and to kill. And this is the reason why it's so very important to know how to detect disloyalty when it crops up. Because the first thing it will do would help you to identify and to kill any tendencies within yourself. Secondly, it will help you to detect disloyalty in a person that you're working with. A lot of times, even in the ministry of helps, I'm giving you an illustration. Several years ago, I approached an individual about something, and then they asked me a question. Was I going to be a part of something that was happening at church? At that time, we were doing word sales, and we had stopped it for a period of time, and then we started it up. And they said, are you going to be a part of the cell ministry again? I said, yeah, I'll be a cell leader. And then the next question that came out of the person's mouth was that I was itching for abuse. I said, well, you just itching for abuse, you know? And that was a sign of disloyalty. Now, knowing the person, knowing the family, you know, I'm not going to tell you who it is because some of you don't even know the people. They've been gone for several years. But it just didn't even seem characteristic. You know, it was like, you know, these people are in leadership. But now, because they asked me, am I going to be a part of the cell ministry again? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, you're just itching for abuse, you know. And I'm saying, you know, and I mark those people and I kind of keep my distance because that's initial signs of somebody who's disgruntled, probably had something happen, didn't get it right, and now it's becoming an infestation on the inside of them, like a cancer. If you don't deal with it, it's going to grow. You know, spiritually, those things, if you don't deal with it, it's going to grow. And eventually, they left the ministry. You know, they left their family, everybody. They out of there. You know, why? You know, because but it was a process. When that happened, it was about at least three years later before they actually left, but the process had started, and that's one of the things I want to point out is it's not instantaneous in most cases. There are important stages that a person goes through when they become disloyal. The first stage that we're going to talk about, we probably get to two stages today, is called the stage of the independent spirit. A person with the independent spirit, even though they get instructions, they only obey those instructions they think that's important to them. You know, give you an example. When the author says the pastor calls for Saturday prayer, and they said their take on it, well, I pray on Friday night, so I'm not coming on Saturday. You know, in other words, I don't have to obey because I'm already praying, you know, or he calls a fast for, let's say, Tuesday into Wednesday evening. And they say, well, I fast on Friday, so I'm not fasting then. You know, they have an independent spirit, independent from the organization or the group. Let me read this. The independent stage is so subtle that most people do not recognize it and what it actually is, which is disloyalty. When a person belongs to a group, ministry, or company and develops an independent spirit or attitude, he sort of becomes autonomous within the setup. The rules of the organization no longer control him or her. Such a person is still a part of the church, but do not want to do, or they want to do what they want to do despite the instructions. For instance, I just use this illustration. The pastor may say, we're fasting on Friday, but the person with an independent spirit thinks, well, I've already decided to fast on Wednesdays, so I'll do that instead. You know, I'm going to do my own thing. You know, it's required in a ministry, let's say, to come to prayer meeting. You know, well, you know, I pray at my house, so that suffices. Independent spirit, you know. And it's so very important that we watch out for people with an independent spirit, because they feel like they can do what they want to do and that the rules of engagement don't apply to them. Pastors watch out for deacons and leaders who have independent spirit. You may call for you know, several meetings for a person with an independent spirit that they don't feel like, well, this is important to me. So such a person only obeys certain instructions. When a person belongs to a group, a ministry, or a company, develops an independent attitude, he becomes ununified, not always in agreement with the group. When a person belongs to a group, a ministry, or company, develops an independent spirit or independent attitude, they become ununified. See, when you're unified, you're one. Unity means one, but when you're ununified, you're not flowing as one person. You have an independent attitude away from the norm of what the leader is in, the direction or the mandate of the leadership, and you're not always in agreement with the group. A person with an independent spirit obeys only certain instructions, only the ones they think that are really important to them. So they're not gonna just take heed to anything. They're gonna decipher and rationale certain things. And it was kind of ironic, as I was studying and getting some, you know, insight into this. I was sitting in the copy room right across the hall, and I just happened to run across the Ministries of Help Guideline Questionnaire. And when I was looking at it, I was looking at the very bottom. There's certain things when you operate in the Ministry of Helps here at the church, and I'm just using this as an illustration. But, you know, one of the things is that you must be spirit-filled. You must attend prayer meetings. I'm just reading it. You must be a consistent tither and financially support the vision and Word of Life Christian Center. I like this next one. You must be totally in agreement with the Apostle Thompson and the vision of the ministry. You know, I mean, those are qualifications of loyalty. You know, I'm submitted to the vision and the visionary. I'm a consistent tither. I attend Wednesdays and Sunday church services and Saturday morning prayer meetings. That's being consistent, and that's being loyal. You know, that's sticking with the agenda and flowing with it. And in every ministry of health, there need to be guidelines for people to follow so that their loyalty is proven. Loyalty is something that you have to work out. You know, when you first get into something, you may have some degree of loyalty, but it to some degree at times it has to be tested. You know, you almost have to be rubbed the wrong way to see what's really on the inside of you. Are you really committed to the point, to the degree that you think you are? But over time, over, you know, of being consistent with your commitment, your loyalty is developed, and it helps perfect you in the area of the spirit of honor, because you're showing honor. When you operate in the spirit of honor, you operate in a spirit of excellence, a team-oriented spirit, a spirit that, like I said, it's not about me, but it's about me fulfilling my role, my position in the vision that God's called me to. You know, that's a spirit of excellence. And like I said, and you're putting 100% into whatever you do, you know, fully committed to the cause. I was reading some things earlier today at work, and I was reading about military protocol and military code of honor and code of ethics, you know, and one of the things it was talking about was loyalty, you know, being loyal and committed to the country, to the Constitution of the United States, to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, you know, even if you're in the military, even if that means, you know, that you give your life for it, to uphold the Pledge of Allegiance, to uphold, you know, everything that this country stands for. When you join the military, you basically have told, have said, I'm pledging allegiance to this country, to uphold, to defend its principles, its mores, you know, what we believe, our way of life, and I'll risk my life to defend what I believe. You know, okay, when you become a child of God and you're in the kingdom of God, you actually, believe it or not, are enlisted into the army of God. You know, and so when God calls you to a vision, under a visionary, it's no different, because now, you know, God has said, now you're fishers of men. And so the people that you're winning, you're winning people's lives for eternity. So you're out on the battlefield. And you're given an assignment. You know, when you're in the military, you generally learn a particular craft or trade or something. You know, whether it's working with the tactical department or working on airborne or whatever. But you learn a specialty skill that fulfills the core vision of that particular branch of service. Well, when you're part of a ministry, there's different ministries that have different visions. Some ministries have their vision is healing, you know, or deliverance. You know, here this vision is changing the lives of people with the Word of God. You know, money coming to the body of Christ. You know, God has given us this a particular mandate, a particular vision, a particular visionary. So it's our responsibility as men and women of God called to this ministry, called to this vision, a part of this school of ministry, to uphold and to pledge our allegiance and our loyalty to what the apostle and what this vision states. You know, no different. And when you see it like that, it becomes a lifelong commitment. It's not a casual looking. It's not a casual experience, but it's a lifelong commitment. And that's when you see yourself walking in the spirit of honor and such a great. I mean, it blesses me when people come up to me and said, "Brother, you have no idea how much you bless me," and just being who you are. And I said, "Well, you know, I thank God, you know, for this vision and for our man of God, because if it wasn't for him and this vision, I wouldn't be where I am today." You know, you constantly always, one thing I've learned to always give credit to where credit is due and recognize that there's always someone or something that's shaping and molding your life. And something, when you're committed to something bigger than yourself, it's going to help shape and mold your life. To where now you're going to be a vessel of honor and glory, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And that brings honor to God, and that brings honor to you because you're walking in integrity and you're walking in loyalty. Let me move on. I only have a few minutes left. But a person with an independent spirit, they want to do things their own way. with a few minutes left, I'm going to talk a little bit about Jabob in the Bible. He had an independent spirit. Jabob is noted as someone who did not want who wanted to do his own thing. Give you an illustration. King David had odds with one of his chief commanders whose name was Abner. Let me spell it because I'm probably saying it wrong. J-O-B-A, Joab. Joab wanted to do his own thing. David was calling for a truce between him and Abner. He called a feast, and he invited Abner and his men to the feast. They were going to have a truce, and they celebrated their refound reunion. But Abner, who was also one of David's right-hand men, not Abner, Joab, he didn't like that idea, because he didn't care for Abner. And so after the feast, he had his men to go get Abner and to pull him over to the side because he wanted to talk with him. But instead of talking with him, he actually slew him. He said, so this is 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, so Abner came to David, and David made him a feast, and he went in peace. Okay, but now down in 2 Samuel 3, 26 and 27. Now this is where Joab actually now intercepts Abner, and it says, and he, Joab, sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again, took him, Abner, aside and slew him. In other words, he killed him because he didn't want peace. He wanted Abner out of the way. You know, there's several instances in the Bible, and we're going to get into more of them next week, in the next couple of weeks, where men, Absalom was another person who went against David, went against delegated authority, did his own thing, and had an independent spirit, wanted to do things his way because he wanted to be recognized. So I wanted to get into the second stage too, which is offense, but we'll talk about that next week. But getting back to loyalty, is something that's developed over time. You know, your loyalty grows through your service. You know, you may walk into a situation with a certain degree of loyalty, but as you stay committed, stay connected, that loyalty grows and it builds and it becomes fortified. Going back to that illustration, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, you're not being moved. Just to give you one scripture in reference to offense, Matthew 24 and 10 says that, you know, the people, when the people become offended, they betray one another. Offense will cause you to walk in betrayal, will cause you to walk in disagreement with other people and cause a betrayal. And the way to stay away from offense and an independent spirit, as I say, when you detect any sense of disloyalty or unsureness, you settle it in your heart right away. You search your heart and say, Lord, I like the way David did it. Lord, search me. You know, see if there is any wicked way in me. You know, Lord, you know, search my heart. You know, just put the microscope on me. And if there's anything that has a hint of disloyalty or discontentment, reveal it to me and help me to get rid of this thing, because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And so you have to deal with it and get it out of the way so that you can walk in loyalty. Amen. All right, well, my time is up, And we'll continue with this next week. Amen.